You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
As the NBA gets ready to begin scrimmages tomorrow, which like we were doing with baseball this weekend, we will tune in because we'd just love to see live sports and they'll begin their scrimmaging tomorrow. Life in the bubble has been interesting. We've seen it from the eyes of the players, and we're also seeing it from the eyes of those reporters who have been invited into the bubble and had to go through the process. And one of them is our own Mark Spears from ESPN, who's a senior writer with The Undefeated and has a long and very well-established career in covering this sport and many others as well, and a good friend of mine. Mark, I appreciate you giving us a few minutes here. I know it's busy times right now in Orlando, but let me ask you at the very beginning, what was your experience, I guess, like going through the quarantine process and then being cleared, having to probably stay isolated for a while? Just what was that part like as you got to Orlando and went through it?
Well, first of all, Masai just told me to get off the phone call with you. He just was trying to call me back from a phone call last night, and I'm like, no, Han has me on a radio show, so I can't get off right now. He's like, get off, and I'm like, no. Yeah. I made a commitment to Han first.
And I'm sure, and
so know that I'm putting Masai on hold to talk to you, brother.
And now it's gonna cost the Knicks another first round pick, I guess. That's how he charges us.
And he didn't get that gig either, so maybe there's a grudge. What's up, right? But no, it's every day is a new interesting day. Like today, I figured out how to get my packages. You know, and we did quarantine for a week. It's strange because you basically get to the hotel, they shove you into your room. I didn't know what the property looked like. We got zero tour, and you're getting food from like 8 and noon and like 6 o'clock, and they're just like leaving this food outside your door, and they give you a whole bunch of drinks. And it wasn't until like 2 days in that Lisa Salter said, you know, for dinner at least you could get room service. So I figured that out. And so I've been so busy, I haven't had a chance to get bored. But I feel really blessed to be here. This is history. This is a unique environment. I wish the Knicks were here so you would be here. But it's just like almost like a weird dream. Like I just bumped into Kyle Korver. You know what I mean? I saw Lakers assistant Phil Handy riding a bicycle yesterday. Like it's just all kind of weird stuff all the time. Although we don't really have access to the players other than practice itself. And games when they come. Scrimmages start tomorrow. But every day, man, it's just unique, odd experience. But at the same time, I feel like we're in the healthiest place in America.
It's like the surreal version of the Summer League, right? I miss the Summer League because of that. You spend 10 days and
on top
you run
of that,
into everybody.
It's like Summer League, but varsity showed up.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Not JV.
Yes, you're this right.
Varsity's here.
Yeah.
But we can't go nowhere. Like, we're not going to the club at Caesars. You know what I'm saying? about having dinner at Tao before I.
Oh, yeah. It was such a tough life.
You know what I mean?
I'm yes, having I do. I
dinner
do.
At. I'm pulling my food out of the refrigerator and just grabbing what's for dinner tonight, Mom? You know what I mean? I have no choice in the matter.
Yeah, so how have you looked at this from a historical standpoint, the fact that you've been given a responsibility of the storytelling of what this moment is like and being able to put it in a capsule, because we're going to have to revisit this in history, and it's going to be a 30 for 30. There's going to be things written about this moment in time. Have you really thought about the gravity of your responsibility that you've been given?
Yeah, I mean, especially working for The Undefeated, you know, where we write about race and culture, so maybe my Twitter followers are getting a little weary from me, but anytime I see something or hear something that a player says that has a social injustice impact to it, I'm tweeting it. Like, I'm in here, I'm hearing it,
right.
I'm seeing it, They revealed that Black Lives Matter is on the court today. That's beautiful. That's significant. You know, the players are not only meeting amongst their team in terms of figuring out their social message, but also meeting with other teams. And so it seems like it's certainly something that, you know, they're taking serious. I've heard Breonna Taylor's name like every day from the players. They're saying her name loud, hoping for justice for her family. And, you know, seeing the Raptors come here with a Black Lives Matter bus and Kyle Korver having Black Lives Matter, a white guy having it on the back of his jersey, like, it's pretty deep. It's pretty amazing. And, like, I hope we never have this experience again, but there's going to be a day when the world is better, and I'm going to be, you know, at a bar, Soho House in Brooklyn when I get out. And they're going to be like, yo, you were in the bubble, huh? Like, yeah.
One of the world's best pickup line. Are you kidding me? but you know, it is though. It is obviously, it's something that I would encourage. If I was there with you, that's one of the things I know I'd be doing is keeping a journal and every detail I can remember so I'd never forget it, because it's going to be a story to tell for many years. And it is a bit of a coming together on many levels that's going to be, I think, historic. And you mentioned it, and I want you to expand a little more on it, because, you know, you said it quickly, and I want to make sure the listeners heard. They did let the media come in and see the court where the players will be playing and we're going to watch on television. But there is messaging and signage, and especially on the court, very prominent Black Lives Matter right there on the floor. It's going to be in view throughout every single game. You can't miss it.
Instead
How significant
saying,
is it to
Madison
see that?
Madison Square Garden
right.
is going to say Black Lives Matter. You know what I mean? Like, that's like every time you see somebody run down the court, it's inevitable that you see it. You'll see messages on their jerseys, their shoes, maybe their headbands after a game. There probably will be some players that, I just want to talk about Breonna Taylor. I don't want to talk about the game. You know, I could see Tobias Harris having that kind of message. It's going to be that first day, that first weekend of basketball, not only from a basketball standpoint, because just being in the gym yesterday, guys, I was in the gym.
Yeah.
They were hooping. You know how much fun that was to see dudes hooping yesterday?
Yeah, that's that.
That was cool.
Yeah.
But then to know that there's this other aspect, a more meaningful, more life, world-changing side to it, too. This is I've covered a lot of unique things in my career, including Olympics, and not covering a Nuggets game in Dallas because the space shuttle blew up in Texas, and I had to cover that. Mm-hmm. Being there when McGuire broke a home run record, I've been to an event with Muhammad Ali. Now, this is at the top for sure.
Now, how many more opportunities is it going to be? Because I was on the side of you should play basketball because I think you can use that platform. So how much more access are players giving, you know, people like you so that you can have these features? I feel like halftime is an opportunity to do a sit-down feature to talk about, you know, an aspect of the movement. I feel like it's also a time because sports and athletes have always been on the front line of justice. And I feel like the NBA kind of started this when, you know, Carmelo and LeBron. Brian, they sit on the stage on the ESPYs and they were talking about Trayvon Martin and, you know, how important it is. And I feel like it's coming back full circle, and they have an opportunity when they're going to have the eyes to have a subliminal message without throwing it, you know, so much into the face of those who oppose it. You know, if you love basketball and you love sports, you're going to see Black Lives Matter, and it's going to be subliminally in the minds of people who may not even agree with it, but it's going to start a conversation within the homes, maybe of that kid, so that you can affect the next generation to understand what that means and why it's so important, and for them to ask and witness what they're seeing today.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool because I'm like the popular reporter here now, you know, because the guys know what I typically want to talk about. And so, yeah, we got time for more. We got time. I mean, I think they loved Undefeated and the message that we're bringing, and, you know, everybody isn't going to be happy about it, but I think with all these messages that the players are having, man, I like really am big on, even if it just affects one person, that's a big deal. You know, there's going to be some kid that's going to be in an environment that's not an open-minded environment. That could be in a racist environment. That could be an environment where they don't see any black people. Like I talked to Sam Presti, the Thunder GM, the other day, said he didn't meet anybody black until the fifth grade, you know? So a lot of times people are a product of their environment. And, but when they see Mike Conley wearing I Am A Man, maybe a kid will Google that. Well, why does he wear I Am A Man? Oh, it's the sanitation worker strike in Memphis in 68. Let me learn more about that, you know? Maybe after learning what, you know, this player's doing or that player's doing, even if I have a cold home, maybe this can change me to have a warm heart that's different. The world is going to be watching, and I think the players understand that, and they're going to, even though they're going to be competing, they're going to band together to get their message out. And I think it's hard to grasp from the outside, but I'm watching the gumbo being made. I'm seeing the ingredients starting to go in the pot, and the pot starting to stew. And then when it gets served, you know, that first, you know, Wednesday next week through the weekend, I think it's going to be beautiful. It's going to taste great.
I always
use everybody.
Well, it's an acquired taste, and that's what you're hoping it eventually becomes. And it's a phrase I always use from the show Hamilton is when I say history has its eyes on you, right? And that's the important thing of how we came together and how you make, you know, everybody now is a curator of this from here, and that's where it goes. And just to let everybody know too, the story you're referencing about Sam Presti, you can find on ESPN, and it's a terrific story about how really for Presti, you know, how it would. The experience of sports basically opened that door, and a lot of us can relate to that. Many of us can on that side of it. Now, I know Masai's waiting for you, so I don't want to keep you too long. I know you got to go, and I appreciate you, by the way. I feel for the first time, I have an advantage now over Masai Ujiri for the first time. But I do want to ask you, though, about the coronavirus and the whole idea of the bubble, and that you have 346 players tested, and none of them test positive. So the concept of the bubble is that once you're in the bubble, there should be no virus, so therefore there should be no positive tests. And there's been so much talk about the snitch line and telling on people and all that stuff. But I'll tell you what, though, Mark, now that you know it's zero, so this house is clear, you know, that's good. But you don't want to be the guy that pops that bubble. So maybe you don't want to snitch on people, but are everybody watching each other and just sort of saying, like, make sure you do the right thing, because this house of cards can come down quickly, and all it takes is one guy to make a mistake.
Well, I think if it comes down, it comes from the outside. And the one thing I've been seeing about these workers here is like somebody, like, basically, I feel like someone has screamed on them before they started working. Like, they pay attention to distance. If I get delivery to my room, they put a cart, like food delivery, a cart in front of the door and or a little stool, and they put the food on top of it, and they go 12 feet away.
Okay.
I open the door, and they're like a football field away. You get your food? Yep, all right, cool. You know, close the door, I'll get the thing.
Right.
Like, they are being real, real conscientious. Everywhere we go, there's Clorox wipes. I can't find no Clorox wipes at home.
You can't buy them anywhere.
So they gave me, like, 20 masks. There's Clorox wipes. There's people yelling at you. Like, everybody has to wear a mask. It's not any... They don't care about your rights or whatever. Here, you need to wear a mask, and you're wearing a mask. So, yes, I do think it's extremely the safest environment that you could possibly be in, unless you just stand in your sterile house and having your food delivered every day. I mean, there's little things you could fix here and there, but the fact that we're getting tested daily and I'm getting the results the next day, like I'm getting friends in Oakland being tested, and they find out 18 days later. I'm getting my results every day. So even if something were to come up, there's a hospital on the premises. They have a means to, like, quarantine it, to stop it, that, you know, knock on wood, that I hope resumes through the whole time. Like, I don't want to leave until there's a cure. Like,
you know,
the next year, you know what I mean? Like, it's even if there is a little blow up somewhere somehow, which, it's possible. I challenge you to find any other place that, you know, is as sanitized as this spot.
Well, that's good news, because that means that hopefully then we'll see this thing through all the way to an end, and then we can get back to fighting over which team's going to win and why and who should get MVP and all that fun stuff, because like you said, it's basketball. You get in the gym and we get back to feeling a little more normal. So I'm glad you're getting that experience, Mark. And again, thanks so much for a few minutes here. Greatly appreciate it. Good to hear from you. Stay safe, and hopefully we'll catch up with you soon.
All right, brother. Y'all take care.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays from 1 to 3 on 98.7 ESPN.